We're looking at James chapter 2, verse 10 in particular today. So let's read James 2, verse 10, and then we're going to look at the context of this verse. This is where James writes in James 2, verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What does this verse mean? As always, we cannot understand this passage unless we look at the context. Now, James has been talking about being partial to people. He's been talking about showing favoritism to the rich and giving special treatment to the rich and, at the same time, snubbing the poor. That's what we read in verses 1 through 7. This is partiality, and it is sin. The King James calls it being a respecter of persons, and that simply means to show partiality. And furthermore, this partiality is against the law of love that the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are to love our neighbor as ourself, and that means any neighbor, rich or poor. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 8. "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." So what James is saying here is that when these people were partial to the rich and they neglected and despised the poor, they were breaking the second greatest commandment of all. And Jesus said that. Jesus said that the first of all the commandments is to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said the second, that is the second in terms of importance, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. That's Mark 12, 29 through 31. Here the Bible calls that law the royal law of the Scriptures. It's called that because so many other things are contained in that law. This is what we find time again in the New Testament. That law summarizes so many of the basic and very essential duties that we have toward our fellow man. And here it's called the royal law of love. And James says, if you obey that law, and part of that law means that you don't show partiality to people, that you treat people the same, regardless of whether they're rich or poor. And James says, if you do that, that is, if you're fair and impartial to people, then you do well. But in verse 9, and here's the contrast. Here in verse 9 is the opposite of what he said in verse 8 about loving your neighbor as yourself. He said, but, verse 9, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now, to have respect to persons means to show partiality. And that's exactly what these people were guilty of. He said, if you show this partiality to people, like they were showing partiality to the rich, he said, you commit sin and you are convinced, the King James says, of the law. The word convinced means convicted. The law convicts them. The law said to love your neighbor as yourself, but these people disobeyed that law, so that law convicted them. Now notice, this is what these people were doing. They were showing partiality. This is not a sin that they committed once and then repented of it. It was an ongoing situation. And this helps us to understand verse 10 better. These people that he's talking about and talking to knew better. Treating people right is not only a part of human decency, it is a display of the second greatest commandment. So they were deliberately ignoring that. They were deliberately and intentionally going against the will of God. They had this mindset. It wasn't just some kind of innocent oversight. It wasn't some isolated act. It was an ongoing attitude that they had toward the rich and against the poor. And James says, you can keep all the law except in one point. But if you sin in that one point, like these people did, then you're guilty of all. That is, you're guilty of breaking the law as a whole. A person, you see, with this kind of attitude may very well and may just as well treat any other part of the law in that same way. When a man deliberately rejects any part of the law, there is no telling where he will stop. When King Saul, for instance, disobeyed the law of God, he disobeyed the commandment of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the Bible says that Samuel told him later, after Saul had argued with him that he didn't disobey the law, Samuel said this to King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Now notice the wording. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. In other words, Samuel is saying to Saul, if you continue in this mindset of stubbornness and rebellion, you may just as well end up in witchcraft or idolatry or anything else. Now, someone might have thought that Samuel was being too hard. Saul may have thought that it was ridiculous that he would go that far in his sin. But he did. He was stubborn and rebellious to start with in this one commandment of God, and that mindset, because he didn't really repent of it, because he continued in that kind of frame of mind, eventually led him to seek the counsel of a witch later in the book of 1 Samuel. Now, this is also what the scribes and the Pharisees were guilty of. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 47, you find a great section that helps us to understand the mindset of these Jews in the first century. And that mindset was that they could pick and choose from God's law. They thought that they could perform some of the commandments of God and leave out other laws and commandments of God and be acceptable to God. And Jesus said that that cannot be done. In Matthew 5, verse 19, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Well, this is what we find the scribes and the Pharisees doing. They were omitting the parts of the law that they didn't want to keep, and they were teaching people that they didn't have to keep them. And so in Matthew chapter 5, he gives us several examples of how the scribes and the Pharisees would pick and choose from the parts of the law that they did and did not want to keep. And that's what Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 and going through verse 47, is all about. He's talking about these scribes and Pharisees having a partial view of the law and of keeping the law. Now, getting back to the book of James, in the book of James, these Christians were going to church. They believed and they obeyed many parts of the gospel. But what good was all of that if they didn't treat people right and love them like the Bible says? So as you look at verse 11, he gives some examples of what he's talking about. In James 2, verse 11, he said, "For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law." So these are some examples to show these people that you can't pick and choose the laws of God that you want to obey and then ignore and leave out the things that you don't want to obey. In verse 12, he said, "So speak ye, and so do you." In other words, this is how you're to live. You're to live consistently with the law, not picking and choosing, but regarding and obeying the law as a whole. He said, "Speak this way and do in this manner, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." And in verse 13, he gives this warning, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment." If you don't show mercy, he says, you will not get mercy. In order to receive mercy, you have to show mercy. This is true of men. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, when he says, "With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged." How we treat other people is going to return to us. It's going to come back on us. If we're merciful to other people generally are going to be merciful to us. But if we mistreat other people and we're harsh with other people, then other people are going to be harsh and judgmental toward us. And this is also true of God. If we're not merciful to other people, then God is not going to be merciful to us. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 13, "He that stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." So the problem here in the book of James was this. These Christians were not showing mercy to these poor people. That is the sin that they were guilty of. That's why he's talking the way that he is here in verse 13. If you don't show mercy to these poor people, if you snub them and mistreat them the way that you are by showing favoritism to the rich, then you're not going to receive mercy when you need that kind of compassion. And he observes in the last part of this verse, "And mercy rejoices against judgment." The New King James says that mercy triumphs over judgment. The American Standard says that mercy glorieth over judgment. This is a general statement. It is a general truth. On a human level, this means that judgment condemns, but mercy tends to temper or qualify that judgment. On a divine level, that means that God is a God of justice. But he's not only a God of justice. He's not simply a God of pure, raw justice alone. His mercy qualifies his judgment. God's love and mercy is just as much a part of his being as his justice and his wrath. Let's make a few observations as we close about the meaning of verse 10, where he says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." We've talked about what that means and what it means in the context, which is very important. But let's talk about a few things that this verse does not mean to further clarify the meaning of this passage. In the first place, this verse does not mean that any one sin is just as bad as another. The Bible clearly says in John 19:11 that Judas Iscariot had the greater sin. So there are some sins that are greater in their consequences, greater in terms of their severity, than other sins. He's also not saying that any sinful condition is just as bad or severe as another. The Bible plainly says that some states or condition of sin are worse. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, Paul said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If all sin and if all sinful conditions are on the same level, why would Paul say that some are worse? This passage also does not mean that if a man has deliberately gone against one part of the Bible in his life, he can never be forgiven. David knew better than to go against the law of God when he sinned with Bathsheba, and yet he was forgiven of that sin. And this passage also does not mean that if a Christian fails to do every single thing that is required of him and he unintentionally omits a part of God's law, then he's just as guilty as he would be if he disobeyed every part of the Bible. This is not what James 2, verse 10 is about. And again, the most important thing to remember when you read and interpret that verse is to keep in mind the context.